His Holiness Indadumna Swami.
Hare Rama, Rama Rama.
Hare Krishna. Dear friends, this radio program designed to help us to go back to Godhead, Krishna consciousness, movement designed to help all living entity, the truth of current age, and distributing free knowledge about how to return to our original abode. May the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, bestow His causeless mercy upon all living entities who are suffering and looking for eternal happiness. Let us begin today's journey to the path of absolute truth. This morning, we'll hear from Radha Gopinath Prabhu about practical application of Bhagavad Gita. Seminar recorded at Mumbai, India, and this is the second part. After lecture, we'll hear devotional songs, and I'll play a Gita Amrita drama. This week, Chapter 3. Hope you all enjoy this program, which is an essence of understanding what Krishna consciousness is.
Sometimes people ask this question. All right, for Arjun, Krishna was there to personally guide. But where is Krishna to guide my chariot? How do I know? What would Krishna do in this day and age of computers and mobiles and internet? So, I want to know the original Gita. Sometimes people ask, can you give me the original Gita? Which was written by Vyasdev, those palm leaves. So some people ask that. I want to know the original. Who knows them? You must have changed it. So many people, so many Gitas are available in the market. How do I know that this Gita that you are giving is the same as that presented by Arjun so many years ago? Actually very important and very relevant question. Today people keep changing so many things. Therefore, how do we know that the Gita, message of the Gita that we are presenting here is the same thing that Krishna presented to Arjun? Therefore, it is very important to understand whom should we hear this Bhagavad Gita from. Can you? So Krishna spoke this knowledge to Arjun. The same knowledge was compiled by Vyasadeva. Next. In this way, He gave it to Brahma, Brahma gave it to Narada, and in this way to Vyasadeva, to Madhva, to Mahaprabhu. In this way there is this whole cycle of parampara. Next, yeah. So in this way, it has come through a chain of disciplic succession. And today, through this A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, the founder of this society, International Society for Krishna Consciousness, who called his Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavad Gita as it is. It's very important why he called this Gita as it is. So, but how do we know? So many gurus are there. All over the world there are so many gurus. How do we know who is a real guru? And whether the message that he is presenting is bona fide or not. So let us just discuss. What are the qualities, qualifications of a bona fide spiritual master? Next. Yeah. Number one, he must come in proper parampara. What is parampara? It is an unbroken chain of spiritual master and disciple, and spiritual master and disciple, who in turn becomes a spiritual master and gives it to his disciple, like that, an unbroken chain of guru shishya parampara, that line. For example, suppose the electricity for this area is, say, produced at Chembur. For Bombay, the city of Bombay, say it is produced at Chembur. At Chembur, they have a huge electricity generator which generates electricity. And this electricity is carried through wires. And at regular intervals, these wires are supported by pillars till it comes in the front of this building. And from there is a wire connected to the inside of this building and connected to the plug points. Now there are, suppose, 10 plug points here, right in front of me in this room. Now, out of them, 9 of them are not connected with the wire. Just a ordinary looking plug points. They are not connected actually. They are dummy. And one of them is connected. So, in this example, the generator represents God, who is the creator of the message, who is the creator, who is the generator of all knowledge in the form of the scripture, Vedas. And the wire that gets the message or gets the current is compared to that message of the Vedic scriptures. And the poles at regular intervals can be compared to a guru shishya parampara. And the current connection with us is the plug point. And the plug point can be compared in this analogy to the living guru. Now, when you plug in, if it is connected to the wire which is connected to the generator, then immediately things will light up. If it is a fan, it will start rotating. If it is a light, it will start glowing. But if it is connected to a similar looking plug point which is not connected, then nothing happens. Similarly, as the same electricity which is produced at the point of the generator is available to us through this plug point, because of constant poles carrying the wire and no place the wire has been cut, then that electricity which is produced there is available right here at our doorstep. Similarly, how do we know that this plug point is connected? Very simple. Put your finger. Very costly experiment. But put a plug and things will light up. Things will brighten up. Then we will say, oh ho, this is connected to the pole is connected to the next one and is connected to the generator. But if it is not, nothing happens, then we feel that it is a namesake, it's all looking like the same plug point, but all are not bona fide. Similarly, a guru cannot be seen by simply how nicely he speaks Sanskrit, how beautifully he quotes the shlokas. This is not the criteria of a guru. The first criteria of a guru is he coming in a proper unbroken chain of guru shishya parampara. There are 4 lines, just like government recognized colleges. If you pass through government recognized colleges, then your degree is recognized. Similarly, the Lord recognizes 4 lines of disciplic succession. Krishna gave this knowledge to Brahma, he gave it to Shiva, he gave it to Lakshmiji, he gave it to the 4 Kumaras, original sons of Brahma. And in their line, when it comes, unbroken way, then you can know it is truth. So this particular line of ours is called Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya. This knowledge was given to Brahma. As you see those pictures, this is the line of disciplic succession. In this way it has come. And it is accessible to us through the current connection. And therefore, we can get the same knowledge that Krishna spoke to Arjuna. Even today, it's available. As the current produced at the generator is available at our plug point because of the unbroken chain. What is the proof that this personality, what he is giving, is actually in line or not? The proof is when a person hears the message from such a personality, there is a change in our heart. There is a change in our consciousness. There is a change in our lifestyle for the better. And you can actually start experiencing you are not the body or the soul over a period of time when you start practicing. That is the proof. Otherwise, for years and years, you may hear some satsang. It's a pious entertainment instead of some rajasic entertainment like television or a tamasic entertainment like horse race. Some people have pious entertainment like going for a satsang program. Years together, everywhere they go and have some nice pious feeling. But there is no transformation in their lifestyle, transformation of their heart, transformation in their consciousness. This is the proof. And you can actually realize, start realizing that you are not the body or the soul. You get purified. Our existence becomes purified. This is the proof. Secondly, a guru must have controlled his senses. Because if the senses are not in control, just like if there is a chariot and the 5 horses are not at all in control of the charioteer, then where is the question of that fellow guiding others? Because his chariot is going astray. 5 horses are going 5 directions. So if your senses are not under your control, you can't control your own life. How can you guide and control the lives of others? Therefore, the first qualification is at least like the horses. Senses are compared to the horses, mind to the reins, intelligence to the charioteer. So when we have controlled our senses, a guru is one who has completely controlled his senses, and therefore he can guide others to the path of self-realization. He himself must be fixed in devotional service of the Lord. Not that he speaks something, but he himself is not doing that. So, not only does he preach, but he himself is actually completely engaged in devotional service, bhakti, to the Lord. He must have realized the conclusions of the scriptures by deliberations. Which means, present him any scriptures and he can grasp the essence and give you what is the conclusion. It is not necessary that he may have to know all the scriptures. As we discussed the other day, Gita and Bhagavad, this is enough. When you have heard from proper source and deliberated on the conclusion, give him anything and he can extract the essence from that and present to you. Keep you on the right track. That is the qualification of a guru. He knows the essence of scriptures. He knows the import of all the Vedas. He lives by them and he systematically dissipates that knowledge to everyone whom he comes across. And finally, he must be an acharya. Acharya means by his own acharan, by his own example, he inspires and instills faith in others. If a man is smoking and he says, you should not smoke, it's not good for you, nobody will take his words very seriously. So, a person before speaking must practice what he preaches. Such a person is called an acharya. By his own acharan, by his own example, he instills faith and preaches to inspire others. In this way, one can actually judge as to who is a guru. But one more thing, simply getting a best guru is not enough. You may have the best guru, you may have access to the best guru, but the Gita also describes If you really want to take the full benefit, you must also be a perfect disciple. Because until and unless a disciple is also ideal, simply guru being ideal, a disciple cannot receive the best benefit. Just as if a farmer is very expert and the seeds that he has are excellent quality and the ground is very fertile, then when the farmer sows the seed and cultivates it, it's only a question of time when he reaps the fruit of the effort. In this analogy, the expert farmer is compared to guru. The seed which is potent is compared to the knowledge, and the fertile soil is compared to the heart of the disciple. So when the guru sows the seed of pure knowledge within the fertile heart of a true ideal disciple, it's only a question of time when the seed will grow to manifest the fruit of pure love for Krishna, pure love for God. Therefore, yes, you may have access to a good guru, ideal guru. In fact, the message is also potent. But if the disciple is impotent, he is not able to retain that message and cultivate it, it's all useless. Therefore, one should be an ideal disciple. Now, what is the qualification of a disciple? We have discussed the qualification of guru. 1 minute. We have discussed a qualification of a guru. But the qualification of a disciple is also given in the Gita. Three qualifications are mentioned. Tadvidhi pranipatena pariprashnena sevaya. Three things. Pranipatena. Pranipat means very, very humble. Until you take a very humble position, you can't access this information. Humility means to keep oneself low. Knowledge, like any other object of this material world, like water, etc., or current, etc., flows from high altitude to low altitude, or high potential to low potential. So, to the extent we feel ourselves very lowly, to that extent the guru can impart that knowledge and it can flow into our heart. If we approach with a challenging mood to test the guru, then we may not receive the full benefit. We have to empty our cup, then only he can fill it up. Now, humbling oneself or approaching in a very humble mood does not mean that you blindly accept anything that he says. Therefore, the next qualification is prashnena. One should inquire. You are saying like this, but generally the whole world is of the opinion like this, or some people say like this. Can you please explain? What do you mean? How can you say it is like this? One must inquire, because if you don't clarify, you don't understand things properly. So, humility, sincere inquiry, not absurd inquiry, but sincere inquiry to understand and clarify the truth. And finally, sevaya, service, rendering service. Rendering service means, after having heard the message in a humble way and having clarified in our heart about any doubts that we may have, the third part is sincerely, to the best of one's ability, a disciple should try to put that message into practice. Otherwise, it enters from one ear, very nice, thank you very much, I appreciate it, and it goes the other way. It shouldn't happen.
Hare Krishna, you are listening Hare Krishna Morning Program. Of course, we have to be humble, we have to be sincere, we have to be inquisitive. All this qualification comes when you are become a devotee of Krishna. So let us engage our mind to serve the Krishna. Let us listen a devotional song.
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. Hoppers Crossing, Little River, Wyndham Vale, Point Cook, Seabrook, Tarnita and Laverton, wherever you are, you're on 88.9 Win FM.
Hare Krishna, you are listening to Hare Krishna Morning Program. Every Saturday morning, 8 till 9 a.m., I present this program on behalf of Hare Krishna Temple. Our address is 197 Dank Street, Albert Park. Contact 9699-5122. Dear friends, to reduce our pain in this life, should look for some alternatives. Thousands of people are turning towards Vedic philosophy. Among them, Bhagavad Gita is just a beginning. As we heard a couple of weeks, the drama of Gitamrita, this week about karma. In order to understand Bhagavad Gita, let us create an imaginary living entity called Jivatma, who could be any one of us, or even all of us, and follow the events in his life. Now, Sri Krishna has given everyone free will, just as the king of the country abides by the laws of the country, even though he is not bound by them. Similarly, even though Krishna is above any rules and regulation, he chooses to abide by them. So after having given everyone free will, he chooses not to interfere with it. So depending on his consciousness, Jivatma works in one of the three modes of material nature: ignorance, passion and goodness. In all cases, he enjoys or suffers the reaction of past and present activities performed in these modes. As he continues to perform karmic activities, he remains bound to the endless cycle of repeated birth and death, bound by the infallible rules of karma, and driven by his desires for sense gratification. Jivatma has by now transmigrated through most of the 8.4 million species of life, each species specially suited for some form of sense enjoyment, eating, sleeping, mating or defending. But he never finds lasting peace and happiness. His senses are like a burning fire. The more he tries to gratify them, the stronger their drives become. Only Bhagavad Gita gives profound knowledge how to control our senses. So far, we heard chapter 1 and 2. There might be few new listeners in our board. For them, briefly, I will read Srila Prabhupada's Bhagavad Gita as it is content of those chapters. Chapter 1 explains the opposing armies stand poised for battle. Arjun, the mighty warrior, sees his intimate relatives, teachers and friends in both armies ready to fight and sacrifice their lives. Overcome by grief and piety, Arjuna fails in strength. His mind becomes bewildered and he gives up his determination to fight. Chapter 2. Second chapter, Arjun submits to Lord Krishna as his disciple and begin his teaching to Arjuna by explaining the fundamental distinction between temporary material body and the eternal spirit soul. This morning we'll hear chapter 3 about karma yoga. My request, please give your full attention to accomplish pure love of Godhead. This drama prepared by His Grace Purna Chandra Das.
about to hear the most important conversation that has ever taken place. It is a timeless conversation between the Supreme Lord, Krishna, and his devotee, Arjuna. Arjuna is a constant companion of Krishna, who perpetually travels with the Lord throughout the material world, playing a key role in an endless drama. That drama is for our sake, yours and mine. In it, Arjuna plays a warrior whose duty is to fight a battle to establish righteousness in the world. This drama is performed again and again, not only on this earth, but on other planets and other universes as well. In each performance, there are slight variations in the dialogue, but the theme remains unchanged. Great self-realized souls can hear these conversations by their mystic power, and some have written them down for our benefit. Listen now as the troops prepare for battle on the plains of Kurukshetra. Chapter 3, Karma Yoga.
Oh, Keshava, why do you want to engage me in this ghastly war? If you think that intelligence fixed in devotion is superior to fruitive work. Krishna speaks. My dear Arjuna, listen. It is true that pure devotional service is the best, but it is obtained only by the mercy of a pure devotee. Therefore, I have already blessed you, Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna, so that you may become free from the modes of nature, and then by providence you'll get the mercy of my devotee. To become free from the modes, you should perform your work of fighting, then you'll get mercy. Arjuna speaks. You are explaining clearly, but my intelligence is still perplexed. If you think that I'm unqualified for pure devotion, then give me knowledge so that later I'll be qualified for bhakti. But why engage me in passion? Krishna speaks. You are my dear friend. How can you be confused? Arjuna speaks. I'm not really confused, but please tell me decisively just one thing. Then I'll fix my mind on that. Oh, Arjuna, if I had spoken two different things, then your question would be meaningful. But I have spoken about one thing. I have said that there are different stages of the same thing. Some try to realize the self through Jnana Yoga, and others through Karma Yoga. But unless the heart is pure, knowledge will not come. And unless one works according to Shastra, one's heart will not be purified. You see, Arjuna, not by merely abstaining from work can one achieve freedom from reaction, nor by renunciation alone can one attain perfection. The renunciation of duties cannot be accomplished if the heart is still unclean. If one takes sannyas at such a stage, then he will be forced to act and take up materialistic work. Attachment and false ego will make him work. A sannyasi who controls the external senses but thinks of sense gratification is a fool, a pretender. This kind of person is controlling the working senses, but his heart is not clean. He'll get neither knowledge nor advancement. On the other hand, if a sincere householder, engaged in varnashram duties, tries to control the active senses by the mind, and begins detached karma yoga, he is by far superior. He will make gradual progress and come to knowledge. Therefore, do not try to give up activities and become a jnani. That type of renunciation is useless. In that situation, you will find it difficult to even maintain the body. Even a jnani must actively beg. But kshatriyas cannot beg. Therefore, your duty is to maintain the kingdom, collect taxes, and make advancement. But Krishna, the living entity, becomes bound by activity. Why then are you asking me to work? Hey Arjuna, work offered to Vishnu for his satisfaction is yajna, sacrifice, which causes no bondage. It is the fruit of desires that cause bondage. So, work without desire. Such work is called nishkam karma. Arjuna speaks. What if a person cannot perform nishkam karma? Krishna speaks. Then he should perform sakam karma and offer the fruits to the Lord in a religious sacrifice. Then his material desires will be satisfied through the sacrifice, and gradually he will get knowledge and liberation. Arjuna speaks. How will his desires be fulfilled? Krishna speaks. The demigods will be pleased, and then they will satisfy him. Since they are in charge of the various necessities of life, they will supply them to him. But he who enjoys such gifts without offering them to the demigods in return is certainly a thief. Saintly persons, however, are relieved from this sin because even the food they eat is offered first for sacrifice. Others who prepare food for personal sense enjoyment verily eat only sin. Try to understand. All humans subsist on food grains which are dependent on rain. Rain is produced by performance of sacrifice, and sacrifice is performed by prescribed duties. Prescribed duties are given in the Vedas, and the Vedas are directly manifested from the Supreme Lord. Therefore, the Supreme Lord is eternally situated in acts of sacrifice. Hey Arjuna, one who does not follow the system of Vedic sacrifice certainly leads a life of sin. Concerned only for the satisfaction of his senses, such a person lives in vain. But for one whose aim of life is self-realization, there is no duty, because his heart is like a clean mirror. Such a self-realized person has no purpose to fulfill in the discharge of his prescribed duties, nor has he any reason not to perform such work, nor has he any need to depend on any other living being. For him, there is no need to satisfy the demigods, nor fear obstacles from them. The demigods sometimes become envious of the increased knowledge in the jnani. But even a demigod's weapon of beautiful apsara women cannot disturb such a person. A self-realized person does not need to work, but you are not on that platform, Arjuna. You are not qualified to act like a jnani, nor are you overly attached. Therefore, you must do your prescribed duties without attachment to the results. That is nishkam karma. Then you will become liberated and see the soul. Arjuna speaks. Are there any examples of persons who acted in this way? Krishna speaks. Yes, kings such as Janak attained perfection solely by performance of prescribed duties. Arjuna speaks. But I feel that I'm already on the jnana platform. So why should I work? Krishna speaks. Even if you are, you should perform your duty for the sake of educating the people in general. Set the example. Otherwise, foolish people will imitate you. They will renounce work and fall down. They will consider that they are like you. But if you fight, it will help the common people follow Shastra. Whatever action a great man performs, common men follow. Hey Partha, there is no work prescribed for me within all the three worlds, nor am I in want of anything. And yet I am engaged in prescribed duties. I am the Supreme Lord, and I have appeared in the Yadu dynasty. Still, if I am careless about Shastric rules, everyone will follow my example and fall down. If I did not perform work, then all people would follow my path. I would be the cause of creating unwanted population, and that would destroy the peace of all beings. Try to understand this, Arjun. As ignorant men perform their duties with attachment to the results, the learned may also act, but without attachment, for the sake of leading people on the right path. Because the hearts of those attached to work are not pure, giving up work will not purify them, but degrade them. Rather, they should be told to work, but without attachment to the results. Arjuna speaks. But Narada told Vyasadeva that, "You've made people work, but you haven't explained the goal of life, only working in Varnashram." Krishna speaks. Narada spoke about devotion. I am speaking about knowledge. To engage in devotion, it is not necessary to first purify one's heart. I am speaking on a different topic, so there is no contradiction, Arjuna. Arjuna speaks. If people in knowledge and people in ignorance both work, then what is the difference? Hey, Arjuna. The person bewildered by the influence of false ego thinks himself the doer of activities, but one in knowledge sees that activities are actually carried out by the modes of nature. One who is in knowledge of the absolute truth does not engage himself in sense gratification because he knows the difference between devotional work and fruitive work. But the ignorant who are bewildered by the modes of nature engage themselves in material activities and become attached. However, the wise should not unsettle them, although these duties are inferior. Therefore, Arjuna, just like a servant works for a king, surrender all your work unto me with full knowledge of me, but act without thinking that you are the doer. As a king orders his servant, I am ordering you to fight and accept the kingdom, but do so on the spiritual platform. Anyone who follows me faithfully, without envy, will definitely become liberated. But those who, out of envy, do not have faith in these teachings and do not follow them, become lost. Arjuna speaks. You are the Supreme Lord, and your opinion is given in Shastra. People know that they will go to hell if they do not follow. So why do they not follow? Krishna speaks. Even a man of knowledge acts according to his own nature, for everyone follows the nature he has acquired from the three modes. Arjuna speaks. Nature is very powerful, Krishna. Even one in knowledge is controlled by it, as you yourself have just said. But you are like a king, so why don't you make a law which everyone will fear and obey? Krishna speaks. What you're saying is reasonable, but it won't help, because people are controlled by their senses and will break the Shastric laws just as they break state laws. Even though a person may have knowledge of the results, he will still perform sins misguided by his own nature. That will cause him great problems and he will go to hell. Then what is the solution, Krishna? As I said, Arjuna, nishkam karma will purify one's material desires, not repress them. What can repression accomplish? But if one's heart is very dirty, one cannot even engage in nishkam karma. This kind of person is difficult to change, but even he can improve by associating with a pure devotee like Narada Muni. If everyone is controlled by nature, Krishna, then the rules and regulations of Shastra are useless.
No, Arjuna. The knowledge-gathering senses are attached to mundane things and averse to scriptural injunctions. One who desires ultimate benefit should not become controlled by the senses, which are like thieves on a journey. Since time immemorial, people have engaged in mundane activities and have developed attachment to material things. This attachment causes hatred of devotional life and pulls them to mundane life. Shastra tries to switch this attachment and aversion by engaging one on the proper path to guide oneself. That's why Shastric rules and regulations are not useless. Arjuna speaks, "You have said that by giving up animalistic attachment and by following Shastra, one's heart will become purified. Therefore, wouldn't it be better if I lived as a Brahmin?"
The Swadharma of a Kshatriya is fighting, Arjuna. Do not create your own idea of religion. Accept the authority of the Vedas. Just as one perceives form by the eyes and not by any other sense, one knows religion by the Vedas. Those statements of the Vedas in the imperative mood are Dharma. Even if one dies by doing one's duty, it is better than doing another's duty, which will ultimately be the cause of fall down. Do not follow the example of Parashuram and Vishwamitra, who changed their positions. They became powerful by austerity and could do that. Dronacharya's position is also not glorious, because he is a Brahmin who is fighting. Krishna, what is it that drives one to sinful acts, even unwillingly, as if engaged by force? It is lust, Arjuna, which is born of passion and later becomes anger. It is the all-devouring sinful enemy of this world. As fire is covered by smoke, as a mirror is covered by dust, or as the embryo is covered by the womb, the soul is similarly covered by different degrees of lust. A wise person's pure consciousness becomes covered by his eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and burns like fire. The senses, mind, and intelligence are the sitting places of this lust. Through them, lust covers the real knowledge of the soul and bewilders him. Therefore, Arjuna, start by controlling the senses, which are the easiest of the three to control. One's mind may still be attracted, but one can control the senses. Mind control will come later. Lust is very, very sinful, and it causes one to act despicably, so it should be destroyed at any cost. But how can one do that, Krishna? The working senses are superior to dull matter. Mind is higher than the senses. Intelligence is still higher than the mind. And the soul is even higher than the intelligence. Thus, knowing oneself to be transcendental to the senses, mind, and intelligence, Arjuna, one should steady the mind by deliberate spiritual intelligence directed towards one's pure identity. Thus, by spiritual strength, conquer this insatiable enemy known as lust. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare.
Hare Krishna, you are listening Hare Krishna morning program. As we heard this morning the lecture about the Bhagavad Gita practical guidance or application, Srila Prabhupada, as our spiritual master, can give a conclusion of any scripture, isn't it? That's what Radha Gopinath Prabhu said. So Srila Prabhupada is giving Karma Yoga conclusion. Is everyone must engage in some sort of activity in this material world. However, action can either bind one to this world or liberate one from it by acting for the pleasure of the Supreme. Without selfish motive, one can be liberated from the law of karma and attain transcendental knowledge of the Self and the Supreme. Krishna, Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Looking at the studio clock, it's nearly 9 o'clock. So next show on this station would be very well known in Saturday morning show called Fast, Lean and Invincible. Hope you all had enjoyed today's Hare Krishna morning program. I'm Charlie Chitindas from Hare Krishna Temple. Please accept our humble request and invitation. Every day we are open, but specially inviting you for Saturday and Sundays, Melbourne's famous Hare Krishna Free Feast. Find your place in Hare Krishna Temple. Our address is 197 Dang Street, Albert Park. Contact 9699-5122. Don't hesitate to call me for any queries regarding today's program, or by any means if we can assist you to progress towards Krishna consciousness. My contact number is 0412-696-559. Wishing you and your families very good weekend with spiritual progress. May Lord Krishna bless us all and gives us appropriate guidance to find tranquility and bliss in our life. Looking forward to have your association again Saturday morning, 8 o'clock. Until then, Hare Krishna. Krishna, 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 Krishna.